Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thanks for joining us today. I am Mindy Tucker, TriDelta's Vice President of Marketing and Communications and Managing Editor of the Trident Magazine. On this series of the podcast, we're focusing on the theme of your best you, how you become the very best version of yourself. And today, I'm so excited, we're going to talk about ritual. Now, before I get a bunch of complaint emails in my inbox, I'm not going to divulge all of TriDelta's ritual secrets here, but I do want to explore how we can, as women who come from a sorority experience, how we can live out our organization's values beyond our ritual ceremony. And I'm so excited about our guest today because she knows a ton about ritual, not just in TriDelta, but elsewhere. And her name is Marianne Kelly, Dr. Marianne Kelly, to be specific. She is TriDelta's Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives. She has worked in higher education for more than 25 years and has got this really amazing career. She's presented like 600 times, keynotes, workshops. Everybody in fraternity and sorority life knows who she is and loves hearing from her. She's a highly sought after consultant and speaker. She is actually a loyal Theta Phi Alpha member and volunteer. She's been their past national president. She's been an NPC delegate for them and a foundation board trustee. So she really understands the volunteer world across sorority. And we're just lucky that we have her on staff at TriDelta. So welcome, Marianne.
Thank you, Mindy. That's very kind of you. I'm very honored to be on staff at TriDelta. So
we love having you. And I think our listeners are going to love having you today on the podcast. So you have been involved in higher education for many, many years. Let's go on 25 years or so. Tell us where your passion for higher ed and Greek life sort of began.
Well, as an undergraduate student at Loyola, I was kind of one of the clueless wonders. And I didn't really know what being in a sorority was about. I was a first generation college student. And when I said I wanted to join a sorority, my family was kind of like, what are you talking about? What's a sorority? And so today that's very different as I have, you know, nieces who are TriDeltas and members of other sororities. And so I have two nieces that are TriDeltas and one that's a member of Alpha Sigma Tau. And so we have a kind of a Pentahellenic family at this point. But, you know, I was an undergraduate student. I went through orientation and fell in love with the process of introducing my university to incoming students. And it helped me to develop. I had a mentor who invested a lot of time and energy and, you know, really said, have you thought about what you're going to do after graduation? And I kind of changed direction, thought I would go to law school and then didn't, and got into higher education. And I think sorority was just a great place for me to be surrounded by strong women who helped me to grow up. And I wanted to just continue that. And so been really fortunate that moving into roles and orientation, admissions, and then landing in student engagement, student development, student organizations, and Greek life has really taken me to where I am today, both professionally and personally. So, and then TriDelta has been a part of that journey now for 12 years as a volunteer and as a professional.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Your time as TriDelta, you mentioned, started as a volunteer and now you've been on staff for quite a while. How has your experience in TriDelta affected your, or enhanced, or sort of brought additional sort of thinking to your membership in Theta Phi Alpha and then the work you do across the country in Greek life?
Yeah. Theta Phi Alpha is a much younger organization than TriDelta is. We were founded in 1912. As you know, you were founded in 1888. Boston University. And so I think for me, I've looked at TriDelta kind of as one of those, almost like a big sister kind of scenario that I've been able to come in and learn. Theta Phi Alpha, you know, we're a smaller organization and we were founded as a sorority for Catholic women when Catholic women weren't necessarily allowed in other organizations. And so TriDelta has really helped me to see a bigger scope of what sorority and now really what women's organizations look like and can look like in the future. I always say TriDelta kind of, you walk to the beat of your own drum. And as I've learned, that's about growth and development. That's about the philosophical belief of, you know, how do we develop and grow as people? And so I've been really fortunate that TriDelta has allowed me to be a part of the inner workings of understanding who are you, how have you gotten to where you are today? But I think even more importantly, where do you want to be in the future? And to provide a really good experience for women for years to come.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's get into ritual a little bit. We know you have this passion around fraternity and sorority life, and you even did your dissertation on ritual. So I'm fascinated by that and can't wait to dig into this here. What started the passion around ritual for you?
I was really clueless. As an undergraduate, I don't even know if I ever saw a ritual performed properly, which probably is the example for some people,
right,
in our organizations across the board. But for me, I went to a presentation by a gentleman named Ed King. And Ed is a Sigma Chi. He is like the guru of ritual. And I was fascinated by the way he talked about not a small part of the ceremony and why that's important and why we should know it, but then how do we put it into application? And I was really kind of, I had no idea what that was about. And a student came into my office, a young fraternity man. I was a young fraternity and sorority affairs advisor, 25 years old. And I tell this story and he said, Marianne, I've been listening to you. And I thought I was all that because he was listening to me. And he said, but I have some questions for you. I said, okay. He says, do you know who Theta Phi Alpha's founders are, where you were founded, what your values are? And I looked at him and I said, this isn't about me. This is about you. I'm the advisor. He said, have you ever read Theta Phi Alpha's ritual? And to be completely honest with you, I had not. And I said, this isn't about me. This is about you. Yeah, I'm the advisor. And he says, until you know where you came from and what you stand for, you can't teach us what we need to know. And I was really stunned. And to this moment, I still think about the impact that young man's words that day had on me. And so I decided to make it my business to start to understand. I grew up Catholic, so the ritual of the Mass for me was always an important part of prayer and faith. And so I don't even know that I really understood that that was ritual. It was church. And then when I started, you know, delving deeper into where did this fascination come from, I kind of had to go back to just my growing up. And then when I really started understanding and I made a commitment and my advisor decided that I could do a dissertation on sorority rituals and behavior, the first thing she said was, you need an anthropologist on your committee. And I was like, why would I need that? And she said, because it's really the study of how people bond and how cultures develop. And you need to understand that. And I thought, wow. And then I thought back to those young women in the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, and even today as our NALFO and our other organizations are developing, why was ritual important? And I think it was important because they felt like it would solidify a bond and it would create a culture. And because of that, it's continued to be the core of what I believe makes us fraternities and sororities or not.
That's amazing to think about that foundation in whatever year. Ours was 1888, yours was 1912. That foundation was intended to last for a long time and still does create the foundation of your organization. And I love that guy telling you, like, you got to get this on your own level for you to understand it for me. Sometimes we do have to be put back in our place, right? And reminded of the foundation of what's important. So what I'm curious, as you went through that process in the dissertation, you talked about this idea of the anthropologist and the bonding and the creating of sort of this culture of this organization. What else in your dissertation, like what were some of your aha moments? Like, wow, that was a really big thing for me to pick up and take forward.
Well, I think one of the things that was fascinating, I read excerpts from Phi Mu's history book. And one of the things they talked about was their early equipment. You know, like today, I think ritual is a little more elaborate probably than it was back in the day, and how they used pie pans underneath candles to get the wax, you know. And today we get all bent out of shape if, you know, the ritual equipment isn't cleaned and it isn't pressed and it isn't, you know, these things. And so for me, I think we just forget that in many of our organizations, these rituals were written by young, in our cases, college age or high school age, even girls and women, who really put together excerpts from their religious beliefs, which, you know, we've all debated in some sense through time as we've welcomed more women and humans from other backgrounds, ethnicities, lifestyles, whatever. But they put together some things that were pretty simplistic. And if you're going to be a good person and you're going to be a good friend and you're going to help women, for example, for us, move forward, here are some things we need to do. And they put it in beautiful ceremonies and words that I think back in the day, unfortunately, might have meant a little bit more than it does in today's time.
Right.
So for me, the aha moments were, you know, like a lot of things, we've put it into today's space, but have we lost the meaning and the simplicity of, you know, Tridelta and Tridelta friendship is important. What does that mean? And we all interpret it in different ways, you know, but
so let's
pretty simple.
Think about a little bit, because I think most of us think, you know, most of us, for most of us, our experiences, you have ritual on one day and then you don't talk about it, or, you know, it's only done inside the chapter room or what, you know, lots of limits around it. And so I think we sort of put boundaries around it. How do we bring it out a little bit more? How do we have conversations in everyday life about ritual? How do we take the secrecy, when you can, away from it to make it sort of more of a common discussion or topic?
Yeah. I think the first thing is our members have to know a little bit about it in order to have a conversation about it. So like you're saying, they may only see it once a year in some regards, especially the initiation ritual. The other thing is to explain that we all have a lot of different rituals. It's not just initiation. And they're all woven together by a thread of what your core values as an organization are about. So for me, Ed King wrote, and it's part of my dissertation, I put it in there. He wrote this kind of story from the ritual's perspective, how we keep it in a closet for a long time, and then we bring it out and we debate about where it can be talked about and how it can be talked about. And at the end of the day, you can talk about ritual all day without telling people what happens there. When I did my dissertation interviews, it was a qualitative study, I interviewed, with the permission of those organizations, individual undergraduate members, and how did the questions I asked, did ritual impact your behavior? And many of them said it wasn't being taught, they didn't really understand it, therefore it wasn't really an active part of how they made decisions or what they did. So I think first and foremost, we have to say, why are we afraid of people knowing what it's about, not what happens there? You know, you don't have to take people through the complete ceremony or the mechanics or the exact words to really begin to have a conversation about, one, why ritual? And then two, what are those key components that we really do need to bring to life every day? It takes courage. I served with a young man, his name is Dominic Green, and we were UIFI co-facilitators. And he's a member of Delta Upsilon, whose ritual is open. And we didn't know each other. And on day like two or three, Dominic walks in and he hands me his ritual book. And he says, I'd like for you to read this. And me being the ritual person, I was like, oh, no, put it away, put it away. Right. And he said, no, I want you to read it because I want you to hold me accountable to it. And I was like, that moment has stuck with me for more than 20 years, because, and to this day, I still have a lot of respect for him for wanting to share that with me. And so I think sometimes we've kept it, you know, there's a saying that says we've kept it so secret that we keep it secret from one another too. So it's kind of hard to know something if you don't ever talk about it. And so it's a missed opportunity, I think, in today's world. And I think that ceremonies today are awkward for people. You know, there's traditions and things that have changed. I'm hoping that one day maybe we do get back to that rite of passage, whether it's in, you know, schools. That's why we have graduations. That's why we have, you know, different kinds of ceremonies, so that you transition from one phase to another.
I was actually, you brought up rites of passage. I was actually reading something recently about how so many of those are going by the wayside, but how important they are to your development, that you work up to something and you go through a rite of passage, and it sort of puts you into sort of the next phase, and like in your mind, emotionally, how important that is for you as you go through life.
And I believe that wholeheartedly, because I think it also gives you a different level of responsibility. So if you look at the sorority structure from being a potential new member and then becoming a new member, and then you go through that process and then you become a member. And like in Tri Delta, somebody asked me one time, they said, well, they're circling out of Tri Delta. I said, no, they're circling in to alumni. I said, so there's not a circle out.
There's no out. There's no circle out ceremony.
Yes, Tri Delta does anything in a circle because everything's a triangle with you people. Right. Oh, goodness. Yeah. But I think that probably is where we're missing the mark for all of us, that we don't make a clear level of responsibility change as people are given more rights to the organization, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And I love the connection. And there's a lot of that in Tri-Delta, that connection between access to the information and a new responsibility for yourself. And I think that's a great place to shift into a conversation about ritual feeling like this set of aspirations you can never meet, and right. how we can go about thinking about it in a more realistic way, and in terms of something we can attain or aspire to, but not feeling out of reach. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was working with a Tri-Delta chapter recently, and you know, since Tri-Delta shares with us now that truth, self-sacrifice, and friendship is really the core of what you're about. And so we talked a little bit about how did they define truth? Like, what does that mean? Are you truthful with others? Are you truthful with yourself? You know, does that mean you don't cheat on tests? Does that mean, you know, truth? What is that really about? And then self-sacrifice, you know, I love during recruitment, everybody's like, I love St. Jude. I can't wait to raise money for St. Jude. And then the first time they got to get up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning to go do a race or to go raise money or flip some pancakes, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is really you know? And I'm just like, but that kind of is about self-sacrifice, right? You do some things a little bit differently. And I think when those two happen in a very organic and genuine way, friendship is really where we celebrate what that looks like. And so for me, I think they're fluid. I don't think you can ever really say, I've accomplished this, because I don't know. And I don't know Sarah Edishaw personally. I feel like I do.
But we all wish we did.
But I feel like her intention was never that we were going to be perfect at any of those things, but they would always be something that we could work harder to accomplish. And I think that's just about being a good person. And Tri-Delta gives you a roadmap for life to be able to do that. And I think that's the ritual.
Yeah. I love that. I like that. So National Ritual Celebration Week is coming up. It's the first week of March. What are some ways that we can celebrate ritual during that week? What ideas do you have for us?
Oh my goodness. I tell chapter presidents all the time, we have a symbol in Theta Phi Alpha that if I was the chapter president, I would put that symbol in front of me at every chapter meeting, because I feel like if we really talked about it and understood it, we would be balanced. We would be all of these things. And so I think really, how cool would it be to just take the ritual equipment out, you know, on a night, spend a quiet night together and just talk about what does that mean? Do something to where, for example, during Lent, you know, people might give up something. What could you do? Maybe even not a give up, but a do something that would represent ritual, even if you didn't tell anybody. And it was just about your internal self of, I did pretty good at that today. And I was intentional about that today. I think we're always looking for a program to solve it, when in actuality, I think it's really more organic. Take a sister out to coffee during that week and just talk about, what's your favorite symbol and ritual? You know, do you have a favorite line? Is there something you struggle with? How could I help you? Let me tell you my same thoughts. And so I think more organically, how great would it be to call an alumna member and say, could we just spend an hour together and go grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea? What was it like for you? And could I learn something from you? And could you learn something from me? So more things that would not be, let's hang a sign that says National Ritual Celebration Week, but to do things that I think are more in the spirit of what those young founders probably would have thought would have made sense. That's something I think about on a regular basis.
I love that. I love just the idea of like sitting down and having a conversation. We don't do that. We don't sit down and say, hey, we're going to talk about ritual.
Right. Like think about EO. If we just said, you know, this week, just grab somebody and just talk about your ritual, if it's different than Tri-Delta's. And if not, you know, find some commonalities, some common links. You can look at the symbols across our organization. You know, many of the organizations, if they were founded on Christian principles, the Eastern Star is part of how that ritual evolved, just like the Masonic Order and some of the more men's Christian organizations. And so, you know, when I went to the Park Street Church, I sat in the loft upstairs, and I know, you know, I don't know what all happened there. You make up stories in your head. But I thought to myself, how powerful that when they were standing outside of that church, they didn't just say, look at what we created, give me some snaps. They said, who will hold us accountable? And today, that to me is powerful, especially we see what's going on in our world. You know, we're divided on topics and on beliefs. How could some of these concepts bring us more together instead of further apart?
Yeah. I love that. And it was interesting recently, when we bring on a new chapter, it's a lot of new members to initiate at one time. And we were in the process of putting together the museum and archives, and we came across the story of the first initiation, the first ritual of Tri-Delta, which happened three times in three different places. It was, you know, sort of two or three people at first, and then a group of people in the middle of the day. And then later that day, it was a larger group in a different place. It was three different places and three different groups. And that's how they sort of started this first group of Tri-Deltas. And it was right before we were going to do the installation, maybe in Delaware. And I thought, you know, a couple of hours away.
Right.
Hundreds of, you know, 130, I think it was at the time, 130 years apart, the same ceremony in three different groups is happening. And the amazing sort of, it just elevates it to this place of like, you're sharing this experience with a sister who's not around anymore, who had the same experience 130 years ago. And how special that is for all of us and each organization. You know, we all have that bond of this experience that you get to share. And I don't think we talk about it enough today. And sometimes we do think it's in history, but it really is still the same thing.
Absolutely. And I wish that we worried more about people understanding the concept than getting it perfect. You know, like you're saying, they had to modify, because who knows, some of those women might have had to travel long distances back in the day, you know, so maybe they all couldn't be there at the same time. And today we're like, oh, what do we do different? What do we make sure? You know, instead of saying, okay, the experience of the ritual is what's really important and the understanding of that. You know, for Theta Phi Alpha Centennial, the granddaughter of one of our founders was initiated. And to watch her face and to think that her grandmother, you know, was a part of that first initiation was pretty remarkable. And I think that we forget that those families still live on. You know, it's always exciting to me when I can meet the granddaughter, the great, great, great granddaughter of some of the founders, and to think that they were just young. And I think today we get wrapped up in some stuff, and wouldn't it be better if our members knew our rituals a little bit better. They know all the songs for for recruitment, you know, but have we kind of diminished the meaning of ritual because we do keep it so secret
and special. Mm-hmm. You are awesome. I love digging into this with you. And I know all our listeners will too. I wish I could interview you every day because you got a great sense of humor and it would just entertain my day. For everybody else out there, how can they reach you, hear from you if they want to book you for a speech? Where do they find you?
Well, they can find me anywhere on social media, but mariannecolle.com is my website. But Facebook, I mean, it's my name. So if you put Marianne Colle in, you're going to find it. You can call me. My phone number is public. My email. So, and then the Catalyst Agency is the agency that books me. So, and that's, you know, an easy space to find as well.
Awesome. Well, she's amazing. So if you've been interested in any part of this, I encourage you to reach out to her and bring her to your chapter organization. Thank you for being with us, Marianne. We loved it.
Thank you. It was an honor for me. I appreciate it.
And thanks to our listeners for joining us today. I hope you'll stay tuned for all things TriDelta on our social media platforms and at tridelta.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us with ideas or questions at podcast@trideltaeo.org. Please like and subscribe and rate our podcast. We always like getting a little bit of help promoting the podcast there from our listeners. Stay tuned for our next episode. March is St. Jude month. And so we're going to be highlighting our joint fight with St. Jude to end childhood cancer in our next few episodes. So tune in for those. Thanks to everybody for talking TriDelta with us, and join us next time and bring you